Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. Man, I am so excited to keep dropping these episodes. Every day when we go to record, I just get so excited. It's a highlight of my day, for real. And of course, as always, I am Ben, and my co-host here is Will. And we're here to get into it. So I'm going to let you fire off, sir. You can get after it.
All right, sir. Today we're going into the NFL again. Of course, this weekend is week four. Week four is promising to be, a mellow week, but we should still have some great games in it. Let's get into them.
Okay.
Starting off with our Dublin game, going overseas with the Vikings and the Steelers. I love to see it. Aaron Rodgers, let's go ahead and talk about him real quick, because my man Rodgers has the potential to get a bowl up under his belt, okay? In my eyes, he has the potential to have a bowl. He's too old now, okay?
You know what really irritates me about that, though?
What's that?
Aaron Rodgers has a bowl win against the Steelers. They won their Super Bowl back in their 2010 season against the Steelers. And, you know, when Brett Favre transitioned from Green Bay and he wound up eventually and he went to the Jets and then he went to Minnesota, that was painful because, you know, it's like, okay, he went to the AFC, oh well, but then he came back to a divisional rival in Minnesota. But this is Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets in the AFC. He stays in the AFC. However, he stays with the team that he's beaten in a Super Bowl. And it bothers me. But that's just me.
I like Aaron Rodgers, man. And I really feel like he should get him a ship before he retires. He's not going to probably, but I feel like he deserves it. Last season, he balled out with the Jets. He needs another one. He needs another one, just like Brady. Brady stayed and got his. I feel like Aaron Rodgers needs his too, you know?
But the Brady thing, I think it wasn't so much that he just needed another ring. I think he needed another ring with a different team because there was so much hate. And I was one of them, and I will proudly admit I couldn't stand Brady. Couldn't stand the Patriots, though. See, when Brady went to Tampa, I actually didn't mind him. Like, it felt like he was authentic and playing authentic football. He got a Super Bowl there, and I was okay with it. And I think that Super Bowl ring was important because he had to prove to everybody, not that he could win, because that wasn't the question, but that he could win and it was going to be legitimate. And that's what he got in Tampa.
Agreed. Brady, he definitely got way more than that in Tampa. He also got a divorce.
But, that means he upgraded his life in every way, though, it seems like.
Hey, I like it. He chased his dreams, and for whoever's not helping you chase those dreams, they don't need to be around you, you know?
I'm just saying, ending your career in Florida after coming from New England? Bro, that life, that must have been a dream right there. Just, you're in Tampa Bay, you in Florida, and you are living it up. And you have a supermodel, uber-rich wife, and you got, granted, they have kids together, which, you know, I get there's that dynamic. But, like, still, you just like, you know what? I'm in Florida now. Let's just change this. Let's just change this book for me. I'm going to rewrite my own book now.
Hey, and that man has done it big. Co-owner of the Raiders, he's done exactly what he wanted to do. And as a man, that feels like other men should definitely be following their dreams and their hearts. Congratulations, Tom. 80 for Brady.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's get into the Vikings. The Vikings without J.J. McCarthy, they did well last week. I'm not going to say that they did, that they're going to do the same against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. I think this is going to be a real underwhelming game, if I'm being honest, real defensive. If there's a lot of touchdown scores, I'll be shocked.
I mean, maybe. The only thing that I think about when I look at this game is I feel like the Steelers, so both teams are very similar in points per game. The Vikings are at 27, the Steelers are at 24. But I think the thing that is very, very telling is going to be the rushing. The passing is kind of mediocre. They're sitting at the Vikings are 30th in the league and the Steelers are at 26. So Steelers have not been a high scoring team other than week one. That game against the Jets, I think it was just meant to be that way. I mean, if you think about it, you got Rodgers coming from the Jets to the Steelers. You got Fields coming from the Steelers to the Jets. Like, I think that game went the way it was meant to go. And after that, both teams have fell off, not necessarily knocking Fields because, you know, man's in concussion protocol. But both teams have fell off, I think, in many ways. But the Vikings have a much better rushing game. The Steelers have an average of 63 yards per game. Jalen Warren's been struggling. That's something he's done every year that he's been in the league. But the defense for sure is competitive. I think that this could be a low scoring game, but I wonder if this is going to be a breakout game for both of them in regards to the fact that they are, especially the Vikings, one of the better teams in the league. And the Steelers aren't slouches either, comparatively to maybe some of the other teams that we would see. But it's going to boil down to, I think, if – because these stats, right, like you got to think Carson Wentz was theoretically – like last week was his breakout game. But look who they played against, right? You know, there's a definitive – reason why he had such a good game, because Browning was just not good and at all. Just no, he basically wasn't even there. Like, honestly, they could have snapped the ball to thin air and I think they would have still had the same outcome. Possibly could have done better. Now I'm not saying I could play quarterback, but like, I feel like, I don't know. But I don't know. I think the Vikings could tear.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Season's greetings to you all. I think they could put up a really high scoring game as well. I don't know that I would think this is going to be as low scoring as one might think. I think the Steelers are going to lose.
I don't want to. You say that you think the Steelers are going to what?
I think they're going to lose. Think about it.
Okay. I was about to go somewhere else with this.
Here's the thing.
No, sir.
The Vikings are eighth in sacks. They get after the quarterback. Rodgers does not do well under a lot of pressure. That is something that as he's aged, he has shown he makes risky plays, or he just doesn't want to make the risky play at all, and he throws the ball out of bounds. Like he throws it away. And that was one of the things that infuriated me whenever he was in Green Bay. Even when he had Devontae, he would throw the ball out of bounds on things where I'm like, bro, like, You throwing it out on a third and short. Like, you just gave up. So Rodgers is not, in my opinion, when he's under pressure, he's not at his best anymore. And I'm not saying that, you know, Carson Wentz is going to be any better. But, I mean, at the same time, like, the difference there is going to come down to, really, I think, the pressure that the Vikings get on Rodgers and that offensive line is, they're not bad, but let's be clear, this is a defense that can get after a quarterback. And they do play very competitively in the coverage. So I'm not going to say that I think that the Steelers have a shot at this because, frankly, I think this is the Vikings game to take and it's their game to lose.
Okay. I disagree simply for the fact that Aaron Rodgers, I feel like he's elite when he gets locked in. And the cornerbacks, the safeties, they don't have any answers for when he has that long ball. They showed it in the last game, honestly. The deep pass was working effectively. So I'm gonna go ahead and say that Aaron Rodgers takes it. It's not gonna be like a big win, but you know, I see a 21-24 win or something like that, you know, 28-21, something like that. Like, it's not gonna be a big margin. I see about two or three touchdowns in this game. Literally.
I think it's gonna take the running game for the Steelers to get it done, and it's been lackluster. Like I've said, it's been lackluster all season. And I mean, I just think that unless they get something
Jaylen
going,
Jaylen Warren's got in there. He's got in there a couple of times. Jaylen Warren,
Jaylen Warren does not have a single rushing touchdown. He's got one receiving touchdown.
He's gotten in there. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
and he has a passing quarterback. It'd be a difference if we were talking about maybe Lamar Jackson or something. Aaron Rodgers is a passing quarterback, so of course he's throwing it in the end zone 9 times out of 10. It's actually what I like to see. So he's a passing quarterback. We can't blame the fact that he doesn't have any rushing touchdowns because Jaylen Warren is just the type to break out for a 70-yard rush and get the touchdown.
Well, but here's my thing.
He has that power. He has that speed.
Maybe. But they're also 31st in the league in rushing. They are 25th in the league in passing. Okay? They're 26th in receiving. They're 19th in first downs, like that, and 14th in points. Like, to be fair, there is a margin there where I would say that they are getting the points that they need to win these games in the sense that, you know, they are getting points enough, even with their lackluster standings overall where they are offensively. But at the same time, look at who they've played. The Jets were their only competition, and that was because Justin Fields was out there. And again, I think that game was just going to go that way no matter how they're going to perform all year. Since then, I haven't looked at Rodgers and thought, man, that's like prime Rodgers. That's Rodgers on his A game. I've looked at it and been like, man, like, he's not great. They've lost a game and they've won two games. Like, I mean, I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, I don't think that offensively they have a spark right now. And I think it's going to take Jaylen Warren. Don't get me wrong. DK's got two touchdowns. He's produced. I'm not going to knock him entirely. But at the same time, like, I feel like that they are.
You think DK's not going to get in there again this week?
I think he will. I think DK's going to get in there because, honestly, he's going to be the main target. I mean, Freiermuth is a good – he's good, but he's not got in the end zone yet. He's only had 7 catches for 65 yards. And he is admittedly a bit of a blocking tight end, too. He's kind of a big guy. But, I mean, you've got Calvin Austin, who's also balling out, 8 catches, 126 yards, 2 touchdowns. But yet, they're still struggling to put games away. And it goes down to when you don't have – a good solid running game and you're forcing Rodgers to pass, you're going to struggle. And that is exactly what he did in Green Bay year after year after year. McCarthy never changed it. He kept pushing it. Then we got LaFleur. LaFleur comes in, does amazing things, even with Rodgers. But Rodgers' personality, his diva-esque mentality, like it's got to be his way or the highway, Same thing that happened with the Jets. They were never going to go anywhere. And I'm not talking about his first year there because the injury took any of that out of the equation. But year two, same problem. They put the team that he wanted around him for the most part, and they still couldn't get it done. And I don't know that I agree that they're offensively that they're put together that well. I mean, honestly, Kenneth Gainwell, I think he's been performing, you know, pretty well as the backup, and he's got a touchdown. I mean, again, Jaylen Warren's got one, but it's through the air. He's not producing what you need on the ground in the end zone. I mean, again, he's 43 rushes, 132 yards. It's a 3 yard average, no tutties. And to be honest, he's not had a really good year. He's only got 6 touchdowns. If you didn't know this, 6 touchdowns on his career. So,
I get it. Once again, we believe in Rodgers.
Okay.
And I don't believe in Wentz. I really don't. Give me another game of some good Wentz, and maybe I'll switch up my tone. But right now, I'm taking the experience of Rodgers. There's not a whole lot of games that I
do. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Don't take the experience of Rodgers on, especially with the Steelers schedule. But I'm going to go ahead and stick with my guns and say that the Steelers take this in a very low-scoring game.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Let's move on to the next game. We have the Chargers versus the Giants. Really nothing to say about this. I think the Chargers go up 4-0 in this one. The Giants, they just don't have it all together. And with Jackson Dart starting, I mean, maybe the rookie has exactly what they need to spark something, but I'm not going to say that he does. Jackson Dart, while he had a nice college career, this is the big leagues. And he's basically getting exactly what I want Shador to get. So I'm going to support, but I'm going to say that he takes his first NFL loss.
I mean, let's be brutally honest here. Even though statistically their rankings offensively, air-wise, they're pretty much a top 10 team, which is wild to me. But it's the defense. Their defense is really terrible at getting turnovers. They're middle of the road at getting sacks. They really don't get after them. There's something wrong in New York, and it's been like that since Eli left. I don't know what the problem is there, but it's something. There's something that's just completely amiss there. 0-3 is not completely surprising with Russell Wilson. I think it's a he's not good anymore. But
can I take a second to say how much I hate Russell Wilson?
Go for it.
Bro, I cannot stand this man at all. And it's like every time he gets started over somebody that I know Jackson Dart should have definitely been the starter. Wilson should have sat his behind on the bench, period. I don't care about experience. And you know what? I know I'm always getting on Flacco about, oh, they went with experience over Shador and Flacco shouldn't have been. Russell Wilson should have sat on the bench. 100% fact. I don't care how you look at it, where you look at it. That man has underperformed for years now.
Yep.
Years. We're not talking about somebody who hasn't had the chance to actually show what he could do, or he's been on a team that's just not it. He had one of the best defenses in the league last year, probably the best defense, and couldn't do nothing. We're talking about a man who has a chance after chance after chance after chance. After that Super Bowl loss, that man took a nosedive. And I do not understand why they keep on giving this man chance after chance. He sucks.
I think people want to see OG Russell Wilson. I don't know why they think it'll ever happen. Especially, you know, Denver really, they really went all in on him. His contract there was insane. They should have ate the loss after their first year. They went to second year with him, and he just miserably played. He doesn't even look like he wants to. Like, I know we joke about, like, players that just look like they're half asleep out there, but, like, I'm almost to the point that Russell looks like he's asleep. Even his presence in the huddle.
He is.
His presence in the huddle does not look very good. Man, here's the thing. And you talked about the Super Bowl loss. That Super Bowl loss is on him. He should have said, "Nah, we're not passing this ball on the goal line when you have beast mode that the defense knew was going to be running at them, was stacked for it." And then he decides to pass and throws a pick. Man, I remember watching that play, and I just remember thinking to myself, oh, this is the Patriots. And then I thought more about it, and I'm like, no. This isn't just the Patriots. Now, this is a Russell Wilson and a coaching failure, because I believe that the rest of the team legitimately thought it was going to be either Russell trying to do a little QB sneak, because he was a little fast little guy back then, or handing it off to the man who was going to get the touchdown. No questions asked. It was the Super Bowl. Lynch was going to get in there, and he made that decision. And after that, I think he never stopped second-guessing every decision he made. He got worse and worse in Seattle until finally Pete Carroll and, you know, the leadership in Seattle was like, we got to do something about this, and we have to move on. And they did. And they've had their moments, but you know what? Hey, they got Darnold, and he's doing pretty well right now. Shout out to them getting that win last night over Arizona, by the way. But I just – Denver gave him too many chances. And then the Steelers, and they got Justin Fields, and they continue to ignore that man. Justin Fields, when he did play, that little bit he did play at the beginning of the season, looked pretty good compared to what Russell started to look like almost immediately, and they continued to go with Russell. I have friends that are Steelers fans. I was like, are you guys okay? Because that had to be the hardest year in the world, knowing that you could at least get little Fast and Furious Fields out there who can run around and get touchdowns over the man who ain't got them legs like that no more and doesn't look like he even knows how to throw a football. The man was throwing the ball a few yards out and couldn't get it there. He, like, inaccurate, no arm power, nothing. I don't understand why. And then why, of all reasons, the Giants took him and said, all right, we're going to get Jackson Dart. We're going to go ahead and grab Russell. They watched the Steelers have a failure with that last year, and yet they made the same decision, and yet they're 0-3, and they have Malik Nabers, who should be balling out, and he is, but it's hard to ball out when you got Rusty Russell throwing the ball.
Completely agreed, sir. I'm just so sick of Russell Wilson. Sick of seeing him. He needs to go home. Be a family man, man. That's exactly what you're good at. Great family man. He's all over the place as being that hallmark dad. Please go be that and get off of the field. That's it.
Go get some advertisements. Go away. Like, there are just some players that I'm so sick and tired of hearing about because it's like they're not good. Stop it.
Completely agreed. All right. Let's move on into the next game. The next game, another underwhelming game. I think Cam Moore gets his first win, though, against the Texans. I do believe that the Titans and the Texans going up against each other means the Cam Ward gets his first W. I think he deserves it. CJ Stroud, I mean, I get, hold on, I get where you're going to go. I do. CJ Stroud is still a GOAT quarterback, and he still has a nice team around him. But they're losing for a reason, and I don't think that reason's going to stop with the Titans.
My only real argument with this, it has to be that the Texans defense, because that Texans defense is vicious. They're not going to give Ward hardly any time. They have, for an 0-3 team, they get after it too. They're another one of those teams that just loves to just absolutely just mutilate a quarterback. You see what they did to Baker. I mean, we talked about that game multiple times, and if it wasn't for Baker's resiliency, they would have lost that game. Like, I don't care. Like, it wasn't the rest of the team that got it, that got that game. It was Baker when they fell behind, when he was still getting hit, when he was struggling to hand the ball off or to make a play action or to roll out of the pocket or to stand in the pocket. In every single category, I'm saying, they were all over them. It was his resiliency. That was it. His resiliency alone to stick with it, that and fight through the clear pain that that man was in, and rightfully so, getting smacked. Yeah, and it's not like their offensive line's that great. I mean, I get like what you're kind of saying and what you're kind of going with, but like, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, because here's the thing. Cam Ward has been sacked 15 times already. He's got 2 fumbles, like 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. You're going into week 4. Like, you're a rookie on a team that doesn't have hardly anybody to throw to. I get like the idea that he deserves that win, and he does, but the rest of his team doesn't. And honestly, if I was Cam Ward, I would just try to focus on staying healthy, surviving the year, and hopefully next year they'll give you some protection. And maybe, who knows, maybe he won't get sacked 15 times in 3 games. It's insanity. That's an average of 5 sacks a game. That means you are spending more time on the ground than most quarterbacks are. And that's not including the times that he's getting hit that aren't sacks. He's got 2 fumbles already. Like, he's got more turnovers than he does touchdowns. It's not on him, though, in my opinion, at least not entirely. When you're a rookie, you can only do so much to get your team around you, to rally around you. They don't know what you're capable of. They can't trust you. But then when you're that guy and you have the team around you that he does, I'd be sitting there thinking, what am I supposed to do? How do I command the huddle when I can give them an instruction, and yet when we call the play and they go out there and they just bomb, they give no effort, they bomb it for us, what am I going to do? So I think Cam Ward's in a position where he's going to have to be careful to and understand that they're going to have a terrible year. There's no turning it around in Tennessee. There's not. And it's not because they're 0-3. It's because that they don't give him anything. Cam Ward should have never had the misfortune of being drafted by the Titans. I mean, Tony Pollard, I feel for him, because I think when he went there, I think the whole thought process was like, maybe he could be that key future running back who was going to be able to help get the team there. But Calvin Ridley hasn't been that great. Tyler Lockett, I'm sorry, why is he even playing at this point? I mean, he's got 6 catches for 46 yards, sir. No touchdowns. Tyler Lockett, when he was in Seattle, it's him, DK, and Jigba comes along, you know, starts to see some separation there. And obviously, you know, players, it's out of time to move along, especially when they're getting older. Nobody's done much of anything. I don't see anything there. I mean, Okonkwo has 12 catches, 120 yards. He's not in the end zone. Pollard's got a touchdown. Calvin Ridley, I mean, what does this man have? This man has no touchdowns, 8 catches, 111 yards. I don't see what is mattering. Literally, Iyo Manor or something like that. I'm not even trying to say his last name, but like he's literally he's got those two touchdowns that Cam Ward has thrown has went to him. 10 catches, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like, and I believe he is also a rookie. So shout out to 2 rookies, I guess. But no, in what world do they realistically have a chance when he's probably going to get sacked minimum 3 or maybe 3 times if he's lucky? They ain't going to run against the Texans.
Well, we'll see. I mean, and both of them's 0-3, so somebody has to go 0-4.
I mean, technically they don't. They could tie.
Overtime is a thing?
Yeah, yeah. Overtime would be a thing. And I could see these two teams doing it. So I think C.J. Stroud has a good chance if him and Collins can keep connecting. Because CJ's only throwing 2 touchdowns. He's on 3 interceptions, 2 touchdowns. And both those touchdowns are going to Nico Collins. So I think clearly that connection is going to be a big deal. Nick Chubb, I mean, he's done okay so far this year. He's ran the ball 34 times. So really, he's barely averaging more than like 11, maybe 12 a game. Now, I don't know the exact breakdown of the games that in his numbers, but I do know that he's got 1 touchdown in 3 games. Now, Nick Chubb is probably being used carefully for a reason, and that's because, as we are all aware, the man is injury prone every year. And when every year in Cleveland, you could count on it. If you start him off strong the first couple of weeks, he's going to go out for the rest of the year. So I think Tennessee's only shot is if they can somehow outlast the onslaught from the Texans defense.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
And that their defense can keep Nico Collins under control. Because outside of that, they really don't have anything going for him. I mean, Christian Kirk hasn't really done anything this year yet. To be fair, I don't think he's played every game either. But he's 3 catches, 25 yards. You know, he was supposed to be another good receiver, kind of help replace the glaring deficiency of not having Tank Dell there. But there's just nobody around him that's going to help him. It's only going to be Nico. And I don't get me wrong, that's a very dangerous connection. But that's another prime example of what happens whenever you take and you have only one true good receiver. I mean, Schultz at tight end hasn't done much, but he's done better than some of the other guys who are his receivers. 11 catches, 96 yards, but again, no tutties.
I get it, sir. I just feel that if we're going to get a win for Ward, this is where it's going to come from.
Well,
But I could be wrong. Like I said, both of these teams are playing in abysmal football right now, and one of them has to go down. So,
well,
we're
going
to see
like
who it is.
If we're going to look at Tennessee's schedule, I think that the Texans are not going to be their win. If they're going to get a win, I think it's going to fall down to when maybe they play the Patriots, putting them at week 7. So realistically, they're probably going to go 0-6, and then they might have a shot against the Patriots. They might have a chance against the Jags week 13. Week 14 against the Browns. I would say that that should be an easier game for them, but like they're both going to be battling for incompetency in the first round pick. So they're only probably getting two or three wins this year, to be entirely honest. Yeah, I don't.
I'm not looking for like big time numbers from the Titans, but you know, I'd like to see Cam Ward get, you know, some NFL shine. First round draft pick, you deserve it in my eyes, and he's just not going to get it with the Titans. Nobody has gotten it with the Titans in years. So,
yep.
Moving on to the next game, we got the Commanders and Falcons. Once again, another game that we ain't got to talk about too much. Commanders, I'm taking that spread all day, every day. That spread's worth gold.
What's funny is I'm with you on that, and Daniels is ruled out for this game. And I believe McLaurin is probably not playing as well. And yet, I still am with you. I would take that spread. There's no reason not to.
I'm taking that spread. It's so easy.
The only way that that goes the other way is literally... Is the only way that goes the other way, and I don't believe it's possible at this point, but is that their defense locks down and Bijan just runs every play. Like, you give it to Bijan and, you know, let him run it like 50 times and he'll find the end zone a couple of times before he wears out and he just falls over. Because, like, that's the only way they're winning. I don't care if Kirk Cousins is starting and he's had a successful couple of seasons here and there. He ain't going to have it in Atlanta. I mean, if Drake London and him get rolling, you know, But even then, The Commanders' defense is not going to let that go. I mean, they're not going to let it slide at all. They are another team that can get after a quarterback. They have 9 total defensive sacks right now. They're sitting at 10th in the league. I don't know. Now, they haven't gotten any interceptions yet, so that is one possible potential, like, possibility is there because their coverage does have some small holes there. I do think it's possible that Kirk Cousins could do something, but especially if it's Michael Penix, if he plays, it's over. Like, it's not going to happen, and I'm pretty sure that it's going to be Cousins until he gets hurt, because he'll probably get hit, and then, you know, he'll be out.
Yeah. But I don't know. The Falcons, they don't deserve it right now. So let's let them fix themselves.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll start backing them. But all in all, Commander spread, worth its weight in gold, in my opinion. I love it.
You know who disappoints me on that team right now?
Who's that?
It still bothers me. Kyle Pitts. Man, I remember his first 2 years.
Ooh, I swear to God.
First 2 years in the league that I banked on him. Actually, I guess it would have been his second and his third season. I kept drafting him in a lot of my fantasy leagues, and it irritated me to no end. I remember, like, I grabbed Ray McLeod, just another receiver that really should be lighting it up, and he's had some good games. Just can't get nothing. Darnell Mooney. Some of these guys are legitimately good players and they just need to leave. Or Atlanta needs to get a good QB. Maybe they need to tank their season, take advantage of some of these somewhat younger players that they still have. McLeod's in his, you know, he's in his 9th season, so like he's starting to kind of fade out. But like he's still good. I mean, you got Bijan, you got Algier. I mean, you got 2 solid running backs, but your quarterbacks are Penix and Cousins. I'm sorry. Like, but Kyle Pitts, that man has underperformed even when there has been good quarterback play. And I don't know what it is, but like, it bothers me so much.
I know what it is. They're not doing anything for the Falcons. The Falcons are not going to get anything done doing the same thing that they've always done. And they haven't changed anything. They haven't changed anything from last year. That's insanity. It's absolute insanity the way that Penix played. It's absolute insanity the way that Kyle Pitts never gets in the end zone. Never. He just doesn't do it. I cannot fathom how you cannot throw the ball to Pitts, or he's not catching it, or there's not enough drives down the field because they have good receivers. Bijan Robinson, are you serious? Or Brian Robinson?
Let's be clear.
I always get them confused.
You know what, hilarious about Kyle Pitts? So I'm going to list this off, and I think it's the funniest in the world because I don't think it's going to change. I don't think it's going to continue this. But his first year was in 2021, okay? So I'm going to talk about how many touchdowns that he has. He has 10 currently in his entire career. You ready for this stat line? Going from 2021 through 2024, because he hasn't had a touchdown yet this year. And this is year by year, so each number is 1 year, and the next is the next, right? He had 1, 2, 3, 4. I kid you not. 1, 2, 3, 4. Each year, he would add one more. 1, 2, 3, 4. 21 through 24, he would literally add one more touchdown than the year before. One touchdown in his rookie year. He had a 1,000-yard year in his rookie year, sir. 1,000 freaking yards, and he got one touchdown. And then he fell off. 2022, he had 356 yards. Now, granted, I believe that was one of the years he was hurt. Then he played close to a full year in 2023. He had 667 yards. Last year, again, pretty much a full year, 602. He has, the less yards he has, the more touchdowns he seemed to have gotten. But 1, 2, 3, 4. Kyle Pitts has 10 touchdowns, and he is going into year, he's in his fifth year. And, I mean, will he make it to 5? Like, y'all. Stuff like that fascinates me. That's why I love stats, because there's always something to just be like, that's crazy. Like, that's nuts. And then to sit there and literally look at that and see 1, 2, 3, 4 from a tight end who was supposed to legitimately be one of the best tight ends whenever he came into the year. Like, I just, when I think about that, I'm like, And this year, like, granted, I don't think anybody was going to predict him to have a good year, but, you know, he's supposed to be a big target for Penix, and, well, now Kirk Cousins, which Kirk Cousins does like using a tight end a little bit more. He has shown that in the past, so there is a chance that this could be a time where, you know, he breaks out, but I don't know. Pitts is another disappointment. I hated it. I drafted him a couple of times in fantasy, and I don't know.
Yeah, you deserved that loss.
I do. I fully accept it. Granted, that rookie year, he lit it up. I can't remember if it was his rookie year when I drafted him, or I think I might have picked him up off the waivers or something in one of my leagues. And, I mean, in his rookie year, he had one touchdown, right? But, like, he had over 1,000 yards. It's crazy. 1,000 yards for a tight end with only one touchdown is really, really lopsided in general. But, like, he caught the ball a lot, and he showed off. And then after that, he just regressed instantly. Some of that's quarterback play. Some of that's the way they had to run their offense just due to lack of offense in general. You know, sometimes you can't really utilize your tight end as a big receiver downfield or in the red zone as much when you do have to worry about blocking more. But, yeah, I don't know. Commanders have no reason to lose this game. If they lose this game, I mean, the only excuse that I could say is, like, they don't have Jaden Daniels. But, like, honestly, I don't think they need him. I think Mariota will be fine.
Works for me, sir. Well, we are down to our last of our time. So we are going to get into one of our episode segments, you guys. Welcome to Where There's a Will, There's a Way. Today, we're going to be doing a simple parlay. I'm not going to put too much into this one because it is only going to be for baseball. When we do one for football, it will be a little bit more extensive. And I'm thinking I'm gonna walk you guys through my thought process as well, so that way you guys can get a little bit of inkling on how I do things. And if you guys have any suggestions, of course, you can always leave us comments on our page Beyond the Numbers on Facebook. Let us know anything that you would like to hear or anything else. But right now, we are going to be going into our baseball parlay for tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Saturday the 27th, and we are going to start with our afternoon games. Of course, we're just doing a couple of money lines here. Baltimore and the Yankees. The Yankees are now using Schlitter as their starting pitcher. Right-hander versus all lefties pretty much on the Orioles. We got Schlitter, who has a awesome ERA this year. Win-loss record isn't that great, but he's been performing. And I believe he has not actually had a loss against the Orioles this year at all. The last time they saw Schlitter, he won game 7-1. It was a nice performance from the Yankees. It was 1-1 all the way up into the 10th. And then, of course, the Yankees took off on them in the 10th. So we're going to take the Yankees 1-5. Easiest money you can get, really. Shigano doesn't have even half of what it takes to keep the Yankees from home running all over the place. So we're going to go ahead and take them. Ben, do you have anything that you want to add into that?
Honestly, nah, I think you're probably about right on the money with it. I don't see them. I don't see it going too much differently than what you have, honestly.
I do not either. Once again, if the Orioles had maybe a better, you know, I don't want to blame the coaching per se, but maybe if they had just a little bit more oomph in their lineup, we could, you know, have a conversation about the Orioles and the Yankees. But we're not going to do that. I'm not going to waste everybody's time. The Yankees 1-5 will be the first part of this parlay. Moving on into the next game, 220. I love to see the Cubs with a mismatch righty. It's actually going to be a crazy game for the Cubs.
A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese, oceans and sunsets. Some things in life are an obvious match. Like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors looking for a custodian who can help them go further. With all the wealth services, technology, and support an RIA firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabious. Find your match and learn why custody is just the beginning at Schwabious.com.
Tomorrow,
I'm with
we
you.
Actually might just throw a couple of picks on to this one, you guys. McGreevy or whatever is, however you say his name.
Yeah.
He's a righty up against a crazy lefty lineup. And even though I say all the time the Cubs are falling off, I highly doubt that they're going to drop to the Cardinals tomorrow. So for all my risk takers, I'd put Michael Bush and Kyle Tucker for that home run. Both of them, you can put them in the same parlay. They're not going to give you the lines for it yet. Of course, right now, while we're shooting this show, But when you see the lines, throw something on it. I can see two lefties going yard in this game. You could pick your choice of lefties, honestly. McGreevy definitely gives it up to lefties way more often. So take it. But for my non-risk takers, definitely take that Cubs. I'd take maybe the Cubs, not the 1-5, but take that Cubs money line. Just because the Cubs do like to underperform too. Yeah, no. And if you don't want to take the risk, because it is a risky one, taking the Cubs to do anything right now is a risk. Take that bet. That is guaranteed.
You know, it's kind of weird.
Go ahead.
They're going to start McGreevy tomorrow, and then they're probably going to go ahead and start him on Sunday too, it looks like. I mean, they blew the Cards out. You know, 12-1, I think, yeah, they played today. Blew them up 12-1. Like, I don't necessarily anticipate it going any different, especially since they went up a much better pitcher in Rhea. But, I mean, I'm fully on board with you. I think, actually, you might be able to – if that winds up being accurate and they do, for some reason, start McGreevy for – two games in a row, which would be kind of weird. I don't think they normally do that. But if they were to do so, I think you could take the Cubs on Sunday too on that money line.
I can definitely see it. We're not going to call it ahead of time just because, like I said, the Cubs love to try to screw somebody over. And even as I'm saying this right now, me and you both know the Cubs just... they just have that tendency to drop a game here, there, everywhere, no matter what you want them to do.
Yep.
All right. So we have the Yankees 1-5 and the Cubs money line. Moving on to the Tampa Bay Rays and the Toronto Blue Jays. This is going to be one great game.
You think?
I really do. I think it's going to be a great game. The Rays and the Blue Jays always perform pretty much at the same pace and on the same level. Both of the pitches tomorrow are, let's just say they're not great. And, of course, pitching is bound to change. But right now they're set with Joe Boyle for the Rays and Trey Yesevage for the Blue Jays. And let me just say, even though Boyle tends to give it up a whole lot, we could still take that over on this game. The game per se won't be as what's the word I'm looking for, Benjamin?
Exciting.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's not going to be exciting, because I do think it's going to have a few runs in it that everybody's going to love. But the over, that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be as – you're not going to think of this game as, ooh, I got to go see that. Let me say that. Okay. But if you take that over, I'm guaranteeing you won't be disappointed. These, just based off of the pitchers and the hitters in their lineup tomorrow, no reason why the over shouldn't hit.
One thing I wanted to ask you too, what platform are you using, or would you recommend? Because I know some of them have different numbers and different,
I like to switch up in between my apps, because different apps give you different lines, of course, like you just said. Yeah. Right now, I'm currently on DraftKings.
Okay.
DraftKings has a couple of good profit boosts.
So what's their over-under on DraftKings? I'm on FanDuel.
The over-under on DraftKings would be 8.5.
Okay, so it's the same. I was just curious because I know sometimes they're different, and I was just wondering if it looked maybe a little bit lower or if it was something different. Because honestly, like, I don't know, like that game right there, I definitely think it's probably going to lean towards the over, but I don't know.
I can definitely see this going 5-4.
Game's 2-1 right now in the bottom of the second that they're playing tonight, and still early, but I don't know. It just seems like it's kind of a meh.
I can definitely see this going 5-4 on either side. So definitely going to take that under. Like I said, you guys don't have to take my picks. It is also, you know, this is all opinionated. This is all the stuff that I've looked up over the course of the last couple of days. And like I said, pitching is always subjected to change. They don't always keep the same pitcher from day to day. They might end up changing the pitcher on the Blue Jays or the Rays. And, you know, you guys decide that you want to take something else. This is not guaranteed money. We are gamblers here. This is for my real gamblers. Other than that, we can keep on going. What were you going to say, Benjamin?
I was just going to say, like, I was kind of looking at it, and I was contemplating taking maybe leaning towards one of the spreads there, because a 2-point differential don't seem too crazy. I was actually kind of leaning towards the Blue Jays covering their spread.
See, and that's what I'm saying. It's risky. That's real risky. So if you want to add that to the risky pile, along with those home runs on the Cubs, and you can do that. You can definitely do that. Either way, one of them can win by two or more runs. I just don't want to give my non-risk takers that. All right.
I just want to put this out to for everybody listening, for what it's worth. I'm one of those who does very, very little small bets and don't get a lot of money when I do win. But I will tell you, I've watched this man get many, many good, successful parlays going and win a decent amount of money. So I'm not going to sit here and say that it's any less risky going with him than me, but I'm very much one of those safe bettors that I like to kind of go for the sure thing. And even though that doesn't always work out for me, because anybody who bets knows that sure things are never really sure things, I will tell you, if you want to have a better chance of winning money, don't listen to me, because even if you win, it ain't going to be worth a lot. So, yeah, if you're going to go with the
gambler. Yeah, I'm the gambler in this situation, everybody.
I'm the fantasy guy. I can do
the majority of the gambling.
Yeah. So that's why I'm not interjecting a lot here, because outside of like statistics and thinking about who may win or lose the game in these type of performances, as he's got the feelings for a reason.
This is basically all I do. All right. And for our last game and for our last leg of our parlay, we're going to take some plus money, ladies and gentlemen. We are definitely going to take some plus money. Put the Colorado Rockies with the Giants.
Okay.
We are going to take the Rockies tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to tell you why.
Whew, okay.
Verlander, as great as he has had a roller coaster of a season. And the Rockies, while on, you know, their losing streak, they love to pick up those games where everybody's underperforming. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So while we go and look at the Giants for tomorrow, I believe that they're going to win tonight. I do. I do believe that they have a nice little win against, who is that that they're playing tonight? The Rockies in the first series. German Marquez. I do believe that they're going to take tonight. McDonald at pitching. I don't believe that the Rockies have any chance, especially with Tovar at the top of the line. But tomorrow, they have Verlander. He has a a unique ability to give it up to certain lefties that are on the Rockies. And when Freeland is pitching, the Rockies overperform. He has, I believe, the lowest ERA on the Rockies right now, sitting at 5 even.
Yeah, his ERA is currently 3.88. He's got a 3-11 win loss in 28 games. Honestly, Verlander, I think it's more of what he's done in the past that has really carried him. This year, he's got 130 strikeouts. I'm not gonna knock it, but like if I was gonna take like a strikeout. Like, if I was going to take that in, like, a same-game parlay and add that in there, maybe. But, like, I kind of agree with you because, honestly, I think Freeland will have a better game than Verlander will. And in the last 7 games, I mean, Verlander's just not – I mean, he's got a sub-3 ERA. It's 2.95, so it's basically 3. But, I mean, he's gave up 13 runs, 35 hits. He's had 35 strikeouts. I mean, I think he could do okay, but I kind of think I'm on board with the plus money for that for the Rockies because I think Freeland will just honestly do better.
Freeland has that spark that the Rockies always love. Him and I believe Dolander. They both have that ability to just bring something out of the Rockies that's not usually there. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is our four-leg parlay. We're going to go back over it real quick. We're going to take that Yankees 1-5. The Cubs, we're going to take that money line. The over in the Blue Jays and the Rays. And for the plus money, the Colorado Rockies. You put 20 on it, 25 on it right now. DraftKings isn't actually giving you the 1-5, but if you put 25 on it right now, you'll win just over $400.
That's not bad at all. It's a nice little profit.
Nice little profit, and that's all we're looking for. Where there's a will, there's a way. Parlays.
All righty, guys. Thank you for tuning into this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you. We look forward to bringing you more and more content over the next couple of weeks. Our schedule may shift here and there, potentially looking to add more episodes in on a weekly basis. But we wanna really start getting further and further into the conversations that we love. And sometimes we run out of time, and it can be limiting. So we do want to talk about, we've been discussing about the idea of putting out more content, maybe in shorter episodes, but more frequently. But we definitely appreciate all of your guys' downloads and how much you listen to it. And we appreciate any and all feedback you give us. You got any more final thoughts on anything we've talked about there, sir?
No final thoughts. I would like to add on to what you're saying. We're also going to be adding way more entertaining factors to this show. So just work with us on the improvement. We love the fact that you guys are listening from wherever you're listening from, whether it be your phone, your computer, your TV, all of it. We love it. Keep tuning in. We're going to keep on banging out this content and improving it for you guys each and every episode.
Yes, sir. All right. On that note, everybody, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. And we're out.
Peace.